Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention. With your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Tonight, we're talking about ADHD-friendly classrooms, clever ideas, the sequel. And with us in our virtual studio is sometimes guest, sometimes co-host, and sometimes guest host, Caroline McGuire. Before we get into tonight's show real quickly, tonight is Thursday, September the 29th in the year 2016 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yes, if you're a loyal listener, it is a Thursday. I don't think we've ever done a show on a Thursday, so it's a special event. Some announcements real quick. Dr. Barkley has asked me, as he usually does, to remind everybody about and to promote ADHDfund.com, which is a crowdsourcing website to raise money for small-scale research worldwide. Also, we're very exceptionally grateful for the support that we get from CHAD, which is Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. Their conference, their annual conference, The Conference, is being held this November 10th through the 12th in Costa Mesa, California. You can learn more about that by going to chadd.org. And with that being said, this is our last show for the month of September. Next week starts ADHD Awareness Month, and we're actually going to kick off programming next week with a promotional show for the CHAD conference. I had the opportunity to interview the keynote speakers that'll be talking this year. One of them is fascinating, Lee Steinberg, who actually the movie Jerry Maguire is based off of. He'll actually be the lead the first night on Thursday night, and I encourage you to tap in next week. Listen to our interview with him and some of the others. Dr. Ari Tuchman is the conference chair. We've had him on the show. I think he's been on this show more than anybody else, but he and I will have a great, insightful discussion about that. Plus, we've got some other great lineup for the month of October. Dr. David Now is going to come on, and we're doing a show on emotional regulation. It's actually spectacular. I taped it with him, I think last June, and we've been saving it because it was so good. It's one of the best interviews we've done in a long time. And we're having Dr. Kenneth Bloom come back. Had a great interview with him a couple years ago on dopamine, and we're going to talk about self-medicating behaviors. So we've got a great show lined up. Circling back to CHAD, they are a big time supporter, and tonight's show is actually being brought to you by CHAD. So we got a little tip that we want to share with you being recorded from them. So we'll run this tape and we'll get into the show. So here we go.
ADHD challenges continue into adulthood for 35 to 65% of children with ADHD. Finding strengths, building resilience, and learning to self-advocate will improve your child's chances of succeeding in college, vocational school, or the workforce. Learn how to prepare your child for life beyond high school at CHAD's annual conference on ADHD in Costa Mesa, California this November. More information at chad.org, chadd.org.
And so thank you so much for CHAD for your continued support, and certainly we're a big fan of them because they're the largest non-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. We're also going to have a special show at the end of to round out ADHD Awareness Month on some of the things that they've been doing, particularly as it relates to Section 504 programs for children. So with that, Carolyn, are you excited about tonight's show?
I am. I've had actual, listener feedback. People have called me. People I had no idea had, were listening, have weighed in. So I have not only the information from the teachers, but I actually have information from more people. The volume is spreading.
Well, so the one thing I'm going to have to say is that we've got tonight is going to be a very interesting night because we talk a lot about theory sometimes. And last week, we actually did a precursor to the show, and we talked a lot about approaching teachers and working with teachers. And there was a lot of really insightful stuff that we got from some other teachers. Tonight, we're actually going to get into some real tactical type things. And so tonight, Caroline, I think this is very much kind of a brainstorming show, as far as I'm concerned, because we're going to start to offer some real, real tactical ideas and thoughts. And some of them, you're just going to shake your head and go, that makes no sense. There's no way it's going to get implemented here. But that's not the point. Point tonight is to brainstorm and create some creativity, because most of the stuff that we're going to talk to you tonight about has worked somewhere at some point in time in an unexpected way. And even though maybe you like one of these things and you go back and you work with a teacher and you implement it, or you're a teacher and you implement it, or it spurs another thought and you come up with a brilliant idea for yourself and you share it with us. So I think tonight's going to be a little different, a lot of fun. Thoughts, Caroline?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, what I really love about this is that a lot of times as a parent, as a coach, you look at things and you say, well, that's all nice, but how? And this show and the other shows we are doing are really about how. They're not just theory.
You're exactly right, because this is a lot of how. And I want to, I guess, Caroline, between last week's show and this week's show, you know, one of the things that stuck out to me, it was a huge insight for me when I was reading through some of the responses, particularly with teachers, and a lot of the teachers, like, put yourself in our positions a little bit. And one of the responses we got was fascinating to me, because it was a very unique tip and would maybe put the teacher in a difficult position where all the other kids would want it, or maybe another parent would be critical. And there was that notion of get a doctor's note. And it was fascinating to me, because what that does, it takes all the pressure off the teacher, because they're trying to be fair and they're trying to be, you know, take the whole classroom into consideration. But if there's something that maybe like chewing gum, you know, something like that, that all the other kids might want to do it. If there's a doctor's note that says the kid needs to chew gum in class, it allows the teacher to stand by and say, not everybody can do this and control the classroom, but still allow this to kind of take place. And that was kind of interesting to me, because you really have to stay in the teacher's role. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that that's a very good tip. That I also really received a lot of tips from teachers and folks involved in schools and parents this week, where folks were saying to me along those lines, where the teacher needs to, you know, have a leg to stand on. People are going to come in. And it came up that one of the best ways to help kids with self-regulation is obviously mindfulness, yoga, things like that. But, you know, not all parents are really on board with that, or they're saying, you know, why are you doing yoga? So one of the things that came up that I personally do in my town is the more parents get involved with sponsoring and promoting education in the schools, you know, we all have these free talks people give, that promote information, and people are always talking about them. Someone comes and speaks. That actually helps all of us in the ADHD community, because then the teacher has a leg to stand on, sort of a la this prescription. And then the community becomes more aware, because everyone's sort of aware that, you know, Dr. Barkley or someone went and spoke at the high school. It was promoted and paid for by a parent teacher group, and it just starts to provide education, so that when someone says, oh, you know, my friend is chewing gum in school because they can't focus, it's less of an anomaly. So that was also along those lines, something that really came up this week that I personally am involved in, and I see it work.
Yeah. So yeah, you just kind of spawned some, because as I was looking at my notes, the teacher's in a tough situation. So if you're going in and kind of helping advocate and maybe sponsoring some of that to create awareness, that helps them. I just talked about maybe getting a doctor's note on some of this stuff, so that it takes the onus off of them. Also, we talked in the last show about, if you've got something that is helpful for, it's ADD classroom friendly, and you're going to go in, is the notion of train your kid, like walk in and say, I've got something that I think you're going to find is going to make it easier on your life. And my child has been trained on this in order to be respectful and not distract to some other people's. Again, all those things are really designed to kind of take the pressure, if you will, off of the teacher and allow them to more fully embrace some of these like really wacky ideas that we're going to share with you tonight. And I think that if you walk in and put yourself in the teacher's shoes and try to make it as easy as possible on them, the higher the probability that you're going to be able to maybe get them to open up, let one of these things in. Make sense?
makes total sense. And I think that the feedback we got from a lot of the teachers was, you know, I personally am all for this, but I have had, you know, colleagues who weren't. And this is the best way. The best way is to train the child or teen with the fidget so that it's not the cush flying across the air to hit somebody in the face. You know, we can all just imagine the mayhem, right? And then also the partnership and this idea of a trial, this idea of I'm not asking you to implement 30 strategies. I'm asking you to try one thing.
And the other thing, too, is the notion of donating some of these things to the school and the teacher, because a lot of stuff that we're going to talk about tonight, some of it, I mean, it's really not provided by the school system kind of across the board. And the teachers are – my mother was a school teacher, and she was always having to buy candy and crawl into her pocket a lot to provide things that, in my opinion, the school district should have taken care of. So the more mindful we are to make it easier for the teachers, I think the greater probability some of this stuff will get in place. So let's talk about – the kinesthetic classroom and some ideas for those kids who just have to move. And when we get done that, we'll go to break and we'll come back with some of these other things. So in terms of moving, you talked about fidgets. Can you talk about what a fidget is so that some of our listeners understand what that is and maybe get some ideas of what would be good fidgets for the classroom?
Sure. So a fidget is basically a little tactile squishy ball or cush. Or they even have little puzzles that you can buy at Oriental Trading or someplace that you can put in your pocket and sort of touch and fidget with and manipulate. They're sort of manipulative. So we're talking about silly putty. We're talking about also they actually make putty to help kids fidget. And they also, they're, you know, little balls that they have, again, found at, you know, your craft stores or someplace like Oriental Trading where they have little holes in them so the kid can kind of hold them and manipulate them. And they also have bracelets and things that the kid can sort of wear and play with. And the idea is that if you're a kinesthetic person or a person who needs to move and we put you in a chair and we say you have to stay here till recess, and we all know as parents, as they get older, they get less recess, less physical activity. They're bored, and they also sometimes, if you're kinesthetic, you actually need to move in order to process information and think. So there's actually studies now that show that most ADHD people need this, not just folks who are hyperactive. So one of the things that really I think helps is this idea of having something to play with, because the young person or child, I mean, I see with teenagers and even college students, they're, you know, in this chair, and we're going to talk about some ideas and some solutions that allow for more physicality, but at the very least, having something to fidget with actually allows them to focus and to ignite their brain more. And it's something to do with their body. So it's not an expensive thing. They're really inexpensive. But since they're balls and such, that's why the teacher suggested you train on them because, you know, the ball could go flying through the air and then we have problems.
And just real quickly, if you're out there and you're listening to this, we're trained to think that everybody has to sit still. But what we're really saying is for some with ADHD, they cannot focus unless they're moving. It's kind of like that moving quiets down part of their brain so that they can kind of pay attention. And it's interesting because if you really stop and watch them, you can see them a mile away. These are the people who, when they're on the phone, they're walking all the time. They're never sitting down. They instinctively get up and kind of walking around. It actually allows them to more clearly focus on the call. I was coaching a guy about 6 months ago. It was fascinating because he was always moving at one point in time. We had this conversation that for him to sit down on the couch and do nothing was stressful for him. I mean, it was hard for him. Whereas if he's on an exercise bike and moving, he would actually relax. It was kind of funny because his wife wanted to have these really important conversations. And we actually, one time he set a bar stool across from an exercise bike and gave her a glass of wine so she could relax and he would move. So he'd actually focus on the conversation. And I'm just describing that because it might be foreign for you, but some of these kids not to move is not to think. And so these fidgets allow them to move. Another thing, Caroline, that I know that might be a little bit more difficult, becoming more popular, are these desks that you can move or that you can stand at them. And the idea of getting one of these things and being in the back of the class, and I know they have them on airport magazines and stuff all the time, is you buy the stand-up desk, and they're collapsible, so you can sit and stand. That way, if they're in the back of class, they can stand and they can and sway, if you will. It's kind of funny because I've been to like Busch Gardens down here in some zoos, and all the elephants always crack me up because they sit there and sway kind of back and forth in this movement. But they can sit there and they can kind of fidget and they kind of move at the standing desk or something along those lines. Other ideas are those bouncy ball things, or I've seen these little stools that you sit on that just actually have one thing sitting on the ground. And you've got to balance yourself so that you're not moving, and they're constantly having to do it, which, by the way, is a great core exercise. But all of these are things that are designed for the classroom that are coming into place that allows the ADHD kid to move and to focus in ways that we hope are not too disruptive to the ones around them.
And Jeff, I want to comment on the stand-up desks. You know, they've come down in price significantly. And actually, one of the coaches who's training with me did a bunch of research because I said how my daughter does homework sometimes on the treadmill, which is sort of the original stand-up desk before we had Fancy, that I've done for years. And I was thinking of buying her a stand-up desk at home. We as moms all organized and pushed in my town to get stand-up desks for all the classrooms and in the grade and then for the next grade. And there's studies that show this. The improvement in the way kids were able to process information, their grades, et cetera, it can be phenomenal.
It really
so
can.
You know, just a personal anecdote. You put my daughter at a regular desk, she gets a 60. You put her at a stand-up desk, she gets 100. It's
yep.
incredible. But the other thing I want to say is they also have these great things. If the school district says, you know, thank you, we can't have that happen, there's something called bouncy bands. And it's almost like the band you use at the gym for tension. And you could probably use one of those bands from the gym. And it's like a big giant elastic band that goes around the bottom of the kid's desk, and they can kick their feet and play with it. And it really allows them some activity and some movement. So that's another sort of a la the stand-up desk.
Yep, yep.
That's another aspect that parents could explore.
Yep, yep. So again, all these are ideas that if you go to the teacher, and the concept really is, ideally is, you know, my child a kinesthetic learner, and I think that you'll find it a little bit easier to deal with them if they have their fidgets or they have this desk, and my child's been trained on this not to distract them. And by walking in and donating maybe a stand-up desk or a bouncy ball and explaining that your child, it'll be easier year if you do this, and that they've been trained, makes it a lot easier for the teacher maybe to adopt it and kind of try that to help your kind of kid out. So, Caroline, we need to kind of go to a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the auditory learners about a little bit, and we'll kind of move into some others. For those that are listening, if you want to learn more about Caroline, you can learn more at her website at NE, which stands for NewEnglandCoaching.com. And if you're inquisitive about me, I'm at DigCoaching.com. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more, or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by GigCoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm here with Caroline McGuire, and we are brainstorming with some wacky solutions to help make classrooms more ADHD friendly. And before the break, we were talking about kinesthetic learners, and we had a bunch of ideas to kind of help them move. And one of the things that we failed to mention, I can't believe we did this, is the notion of going out and maybe going to a thrift store for a rocking chair. And we got a great video, an Attention Talk video, where I interviewed David Gwork, who's the head of the ADD Coach Academy. And interestingly enough, he used to bounce all over the place. And by the time he went off to college, he began to realize that the best way for him to focus would be to rock in a rocking chair and sing his notes to like the tunes like "She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain When She Comes." And he found he went from almost failing student to graduating Syracuse cum laude just because he found a way to have him focus. And even today, sometimes I've seen him before, he's got headphones on, he's dribbling two basketballs, one with each hand, and that movement kind of helps pull them together. So, Kelly, I want to talk about those that are very sensitive with auditory type stuff about some of this stuff. And I know I've coached people before, for whatever reason, they're particularly sensitive to sound. And in order for them to focus, sometimes you've got to kind of mute everything else out or do something. So that notion of earplugs or headphones or white noise can be very helpful for those. Do you agree, or have you heard anything with regard to this, or having case studies?
Yes, absolutely. And actually, it's funny because I was just discussing this with someone today, not knowing we were going to chat about it. And the white noise is really powerful. And, you know, I'll just say anecdotally, a lot of people with ADHD will confess that they watch TV while they do their work. And, you know, we know not ideal, gets distracting. But what that really is about is noise. And that's something that I personally did all through elementary and high school. And now I use the actual white noise. So whether it's, you know, going to Starbucks, or any other experience that can sort of simulate some noise, that can be very powerful. But on the flip side, there are folks that are very, very sensitive to everything, and they really need to block out the noise, and they really need to, you know, the sensory becomes very overwhelming to them. And for those folks, there's actually other tools to help them block things out, one of which that's just cheap and brilliant is it's a three-sided cardboard, larger sort of board that comes up around them. It's the kind of thing you use for a science fair. So they have fancy ones, but you don't have to spend money and get a fancy one. And I have a girl who I'm working with who took one to college because she said, I'm going to live with other roommates freshman year. They pack in with all these other people. I need to block out the sound and wear some ear-canceling headphones, but also visually block things out. That's a big thing for some kids who have some sensory issues.
So I'm not going to – I can't speak to the sciences, but I have coached some people in the area, and with what comes to auditory stuff, imagine just completely in total silence and there's a door slam. If you have ADHD and that door slams, all of a sudden it catches your attention away from what you're doing, and it's like your computer got unplugged and then goes blank, and you go back, and then you have to boot everything up. That can be very, very cumbersome. And so that notion of that white noise kind of mutes out those sounds that are out there, if you will, or those earplugs kind of mute kind of entirely so that you don't get distracted by it. Also, there's that crowd that sound is really good and rhythm is really good. I did an interview with Dr. Roberto Olivardi on Attention Talk Video. It's one of my favorites that was kind of fascinating because he wrote his doctoral thesis to get his doctorate in psychology at Harvard, listening to punk rock music And literally, this is a little different because the videos were playing on the same screen that Word was. But as he said, that rhythm and that beat kind of kept him focused. And I've actually coached people before where when they were reading, they actually needed a metronome kind of going back and forth. And you can actually get metronomes on like an iPhone or something like that now. But these people, that type of a thing, that rhythm, that duh, 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 is really, really helpful. We also did an interview with Caroline, help me out here.
The Dr. Now interview about
It was last ACO conference. With Brandon.
Oh, Brendan Mahan.
Brendan Mahan, and he was talking about how when he was like learning your times table is if you. Like he would talk about having a kid dictate it to a rhythm or thing and then listen back to it. It's the rhythm of that. And if you listen to like Schoolhouse Rock, those things a long time ago, or we've done a show years ago on Hey You, which has a bunch of things for kids in terms of routine. It's all based on rhythm and music. And for those that are really auditory based, that type of stuff can actually really kind of help them focus in ways that are unexpected. It might not work for you, but for this crowd, it can be profound. There was a kid I was coaching at one point in time where he had a hard time reading history. He said, you know, if it's an hour's worth of reading, it would take me 2 hours to do it. And by using a metronome, he would do it in like an hour and 15. It was amazing how, and with more reading comprehension. So as strange as it is, that's another thing. And again, you can get a physical metronome at a music store, or there's actually metronomes on apps right now. So if a kid was just there with headphones, that would work for them. Let's talk about visual type thing. You talked about putting the board up a little bit so that a person could limit those visual distractions, because some people are very sensitive to movement. I've coached people before that have a difficult time going to a sports bar because of all the TV stuff. They're always kind of distracted by it. So putting that stuff up, would be one. Another one would be, and I actually used to see this. I used to kind of go into my kids' classroom and they would have like a reading day, and the teachers would allow the kids to come in and put a tent over their desk and they would kind of hide underneath. And it was amazing, because one teacher said, yeah, it was amazing how much more reading they got done, because they weren't tempted by the visual distraction of their neighbors. Another idea is actually where let a kid wear a hat with a long bill, where you bend it over a little bit, kind of acts as blinders a little bit, so they don't catch things out of their periphery vision. Or even I was at a CHAD conference one time, and they had these glasses, and they were pretty much kind of closed, except there was just a single line kind of going across. It was a horizontal line and you could see through it. And these glasses were originally developed to help golfers practice putting. So they would line up the hole in the ball and the stuff, but they actually later found out it was very helpful, particularly for the dyslexics and those with ADHD, actually kind of focus in and read. Again, you're eliminating some of the visual distractions and controlling their ability to focus. So those are some ideas that I have had, I've seen kind of put in place. Caroline, you got some other stuff to add?
Yes. So one thing that Dr. Now brought up on his show, and there's, you know, all kinds of folks doing this. It's not just on this show, but something that really would be great is you have a little tent in the corner of the classroom with pillows and things. And I actually work with a school helping them out and doing some training where they have this in the corner of the classroom. It's great for kids who have sensory issues. It's great for kids who have ADHD, and it's also just such a calming experience. So if a kid gets emotionally dysregulated, and for reading, as you mentioned, and it's about mindfulness. It's basically a little, you know, a little sort of getaway that they can go to, and that sort of seclusion makes them more productive. The other thing is, you know, just to mention, in the school, occupational therapists and speech language pathologists, this is their wheelhouse. They know all this stuff. So, you know, just something to think about in terms of gaining someone to advocate with you and to spread the word and educate, and someone who knows about all this stuff are those folks. And they are often very much in favor of this because this helps with the work they're doing.
Yep.
And one other thing is, you know, back in the day when, you know, my dad and David Gwerk and folks were in school and they were kind of hyperactive, they would go in the hallway and sort of sequester you there. And of course, we don't want to shame children and put them in the hallway anymore. However, There are kids who literally ask to be in the hallway because they do better there. By being in you know, another room, an outside room, they actually do better. And especially if they're highly visual or they need certain accommodations. And it's, you know, in that case, the kid is asking. So there's nothing wrong with that.
So I want to talk about the verbal kids in a second. And then I want to go to break and come back. And I really want to start talking about working memory and some things that I think that some of you will be surprised with. Did an interview years ago with Dr. Barkley, and forgive me for all the details because it really kind of makes a lot of sense. He says, you know, play is really important for kids because it's all about executive functioning and sequencing. And we're really lucky because if you put a 3-year-old on the carpet and they're playing with Legos, they actually are they're talking to themselves. They're thinking out loud. And the cool part is you and I can hear them, and developmentally it's appropriate. But between age 3 and 5, that conversation that they're having with themselves out loud becomes privatized. It's self-talk. We know that it's true. And when it moves into their head, those with ADHD struggle with working memory. And there are many, many, many adults with ADHD where they have to externalize it and make it real for them to play with it, manipulate it. And often they talk out loud. And the rest of the world gets confused by this because they think you're having a conversation, and they're really not. They're actually thinking, just you can hear it. And for this crowd, that we call them verbal processors, which is not really a right word, but as a coach that we talk about this. And these are the people that actually need to say it out loud for them to actually think. Most people just sit there and think to themselves, but these people can't. They have to say it. And so things to do with them is actually have the kid with ADHD that's a verbal processor actually teach a subject to somebody else. They might not know it, but they're going to learn it as they're trying to explain it to somebody else. Particularly, the other person's giving them nonverbal feedback, like it's making some sense. Another thing, too, is actually I'm a little bit of a verbal processor. When I coach people, I actually make some notes, and I can't read them very well, but I have them work in memory, and I have a service called Copy Talk. I hit speed dial and I just dictate a stream of consciousness that I'm looking off of my notes, and it's held as an MP3 and it's transcribed and sent back to me. I can dictate as much as I want a month, only for 4 minutes at a time for like $60. And it really, really kind of helps me capture my thoughts. When I get the transcription in, I never read it before I'm going to talk to somebody else, but I kind of skim through it and it takes me back to that conversation. Also, having the kids get up and kind of explain what they're doing out loud in class can be very, very helpful for these people that not to talk is not to think, because they can actually process it. So those are some ideas that I had. Do you have anything you want to add to it, Caroline?
Well, first off, I can't say enough about those kind of services and apps and things, because they really do help those of us who are verbal processors. I count myself in that. I also think that a lot of the kids I work with, we have them teaching. Even if you're teaching your family, even if you're up there with a whiteboard and you're teaching your family the math, that is a way to get it into your brain. Holding a study group. So, you know, a lot of times if it's to do with boredom, if it's to do with verbal processing, a study group can really help. And especially if you each prepare a section and then you teach each other.
Absolutely.
That's something that sometimes our kids struggle to organize. If we can help them and get them organized around it, it really, really helps. And that's honestly why sort of the accountability and the way that extra help helps our kids is really that it's just a set time to study and a set time to verbally process. And I think that the last thing is, you can verbally process and just record a bunch of stuff and you don't even have to listen to it. You know, you can make a recording on your phone. You can make a video. I do this a lot with kids where they make a little video and they love it. They think they're stars. But it's really about them verbal processing. You know, I'm kind of tricking them into processing the information.
Absolutely, absolutely. I want to go to break. When we come back, I'm gonna be calm, everybody. I'm trying not to get in a soapbox, but I'm gonna talk about working memory, and I'm a little opinionated about this. Doesn't mean I'm right, but just brace yourself when we come back, because I want to talk about what working memory is, how it's very challenging today in classroom, and give some tips and some unexpected ideas on how they can. how you can help your student in school and work with a teacher. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll get into that. But real quickly, to learn more about Caroline McGuire, go to NE, that stands for newenglandcoaching.com. And if you want to look me up, check out digcoaching.com. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Caroline McGuire, and we're brainstorming like there's nobody's business on ways to make classrooms ADHD-friendly by partnering with your teacher. Before the break, I alluded, I want to talk about working memory. And this is a fascinating to me because we talk about working memory, but few people understand it. I did a Attention Talk video thing a couple years ago. And if you go to YouTube and type in Attention Talk video working memory. And in that video, I had an attention exercise where I give you a couple words and ask them to repeat them back in alphabetical order. And it's fascinating because I explain when you do that, you can actually witness what working memory is. And those with ADHD, their working memory is taxed. And basically what working memory is, it's the ability to hold thoughts in your mind without forgetting while you process or organize and stuff and kind of come back to it. It's kind of like a juggling act, if you will. Earlier we talked about, you know, kids talking out loud. They got to kind of get them out so they can touch it and feel it. And I'm finding it more and more challenging in this world because technology is taxing working memory like there's nobody's business. Because when you got to look at a screen on your computer screen and you toggle to another screen, you've got to remember what was in that screen and look at the new screen. Whereas if you have it on your desk and you can see the whole page, your eyes just have to move back and forth. But if you've got to move from one screen to another and scroll up and scroll down, while you're thinking about finding that information, you have to hold in your mind what was on the prior screen and kind of match it up to what's on the new screen. And that can be really, really, really challenging. I mean, more challenging than you think. So one of the things that I've learned over the years is just for those crowd that are taxed, you got to just get it on the table. And so one is a printer. Even if you've got to buy your own printer, have the kid print it out and put it all out. Now, there's this big thing about going green, and I can certainly appreciate that. But in a way, I think it really bullies those with ADHD because they can't – it puts them at a disadvantage because they if they can't see it, they can't hold it, and you're bullying them to do something that makes it more taxing. So a printer would be one. Another one was multi-computer screens, so that if you've got – two or three screens on a computer, you can pull two web pages up and you can glance at one screen and move back and forth just like you would on a desktop. Another one that's huge, and I've worked with a lot of college students, is this is spectacular. It's a thing called LiveScribe, and it's actually a pen. Kirsten Milliken actually turned me on to it a couple of years ago, and I'm working with a girl that goes to college right now, and the ability to listen to a teacher and listen to what they're saying and write it down so that you're capturing, because this person has said, I either have to listen to them or I'm writing the notes. I can't do both at the same time. And the cool part about this pen is it's got special paper, but it audio records what's being said. And if you're making the notes or you're writing them all out, you can actually take the pen after it's over with and you can tap where it is on the page and it will jump to the audio recording at that point in time. So let's say you're kind of going along and you're confused and you kind of can't keep up. After class is over with, you can go back and just tap that. And then you can hear the teacher with what they were saying at that point in time. And you can write it out. So it's really kind of great for those who struggle with working memory, because you can kind of go through and you got the audio recording and you've got your notes. And when it's all over with, if you're missing something, you can go back and capture it. And to me, these, particularly as you get higher, these are big deal, because I think it's taxing those with ADHD more than what most people think. So is there anything you'd like to add to that, Caroline?
Well, I just would like to attest that I have people using the Live Scribe pen. I'm amazed by it. And I do want to say a funny story. A student of mine that I'm working with said to me, "What do you do about the fact that if a professor is just like dull, and there's just nothing you can do about the fact that they're dull?" And in medical school and things, you know, you're there, you're supposed to be grateful to be there. That's how it is. And the Live Scribe pen has proved to be a really great way to compensate for the fact that, you know, sometimes you tune out. Other thing I wanted to just mention, Jeff, while we're on the subject, is that there's something called WhisperSync. And this is to do with a website called audible.com, where you can listen to textbooks, you can listen to books, you can listen to, you know, Dr. Tom Brown has his books on there and things. And there's something, it's owned now by Amazon, and I don't know how this works, but you can read the book on your Kindle or an iPad wherever you stop. And if you go to the audiobook, it then switches over and it knows magically where you are. And I mention this only because for those of us who are dyslexic and ADHD, things like audiobooks have been long held as a tool. This just really compensates for a lot of the struggles that we've had with them.
Oh my God, I'm having a brain fart. There's a coach up in Massachusetts, good friend with Nancy Rady, and what's her name? Good friends with Osis. Anyway, she's got dyslexia, and she's got those a lot of software that will go text to speech and stuff like that. And literally, mm-hmm. she uses it for emails and everything. It's a godsend to her. She performs at a high level, and she couldn't do it without these types of things. And again, to get these things in the classroom for a certain crowd, it can be a godsend. Just like I want to kind of jump to one of the miscellaneous things that I had, and that is many of those with ADD, to be able to take a test orally, particularly the verbal processors where they're hearing it and they're talking about it, can radically – they have the knowledge, but the medium of reading it – it's just cumbersome for them, but to have a teacher will sit there and say, "Listen, can they stay after class or, you know, whatever, and just take the class on an auditory basis," can mean a world of difference in terms of their intellect. Because school's really about learning. That's what we want to do: absorb information. And we're testing them to see if they're absorbing the information. And they might not test as well in a print form, but they're smart. There's no reason to penalize from that. Now, certainly when they get out in the real world, they've got to figure out some ways to deal with that. But school's about learning the information, not bullying them and making them feel bad because they have some difficulty. So I just had to kind of weave that in there because it just kind of fit in that spot. Caroline, I want to kind of pull this thing together, but just a few other miscellaneous type things. And jump in here if you've got some stuff. And one of those is, we talked earlier about white noise. I have found, we did a show a while ago on this, and I have found that there's some with ADHD, they can focus a little bit more in what I call a white experience. And what that is they're in and among people that are moving, that are all paying attention to something else, but it's kind of like they kind of, all that movement kind of mutes it all out and they get in a cocoon. So I've literally had businessmen that when they had to do their expense accounts, it's really, really boring. It's easier for them to do it at a Starbucks or at an airport. And that notion, if you get done at the end of the day or class period, and the kid can actually go out and sit in the middle of recess, let's say he's a third grader and sixth graders running around, he doesn't know anything, is sometimes that white experience will enable them to focus when they wouldn't be able to focus in the back of class. You want to comment on that at all?
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I think that the white noise experience, the beauty of that is that you can manufacture that for yourself. So if you teach a kid or a teenager about that experience, they can conjure that up in many, many different ways, including going to the back of a study hall or classroom while people talk. One of the jokes for me at conferences is people will say, wow, you're really studious. Well, yeah, because everybody is talking. I can do things and write things, and I'm there writing articles and stuff because people are talking. So you can manufacture that in different ways. You can go to extra help and say to the teacher, gee, and I've had many students where this is what we do. You know, I'm just going to sit in the back of the class. I'm going to do my work. I need this noise. It helps me focus. And actually, most people are very cool with it because somehow they have come to understand that that is a way that people focus. So I can't say enough about the white noise experience.
It blew me away. When I first started kind of experimenting around with it, and you say, hey, just go to, like, literally I had one guy go to the airport. I'm driving to the airport. I'm not flying anywhere. I'm just going to sit there because people, and the guy is phenomenal. He said, I got things done that I never got before. And there's actually one guy that I still coach today. And it's funny because when the office is closed and everybody leaves at 5 o'clock and he typically has more work to do, he has to physically get up and go somewhere else. He'll go to University of Tampa or Starbucks or these different kind of places because without people moving around, he just can't focus. We've tried it every which way to Sunday. It just doesn't work. So we kind of like, listen, let's stick with what works and makes it happen. One other thing that I kind of throw out there, and I learned this years ago from a racquetball teacher, and she was always – she would run summer camps and kids would kind of run all over the place, and she found that if she gave everybody a job – there's something about that kind of occupied people in the white space of things, that they would kind of do that, and it kind of helped them focus. It's kind of like when they're daydreaming, they would do this stuff. And for a certain crowd, giving them a job that they have to do either during a lesson, like you're up at the class and you're in charge is to erase what I put up there for whatever extent that's still in the classroom, or you're the one that's supposed to point to the next person that has the question. It's amazing how giving them the job, because there's many things those with ADHD can do in the company of others or for other people that they can't do themselves. And it's a very subtle thing. And if you can find a way to work it out, it can be very powerful for some people out there. Just literally give them a job. Again, to point out the kids, you got to hold your hand up in order, and they will point to them. That's their job. And they actually were able to focus more by doing that. So you want anything to add or on that at all, Caroline?
Yeah, I actually think that for parents out there who are thinking, you know, that's great in the classroom, but at home, the teach your sibling something is actually a huge way to sort of extend that job. So if you have kids that get along and you need them, you know, to do certain tasks or to, you know, maybe help out, a way to, instead of fighting the fight, is to have them, you know, allegedly be teaching a sibling something or to, you know, be helping a sibling, a younger sibling. And I find that, you know, we have sort of this partnership thing that develops, and it's very nice because you hope your kids will get along later in life. So that's another aspect of that sort of job. Part of that builds self-esteem and makes kids have pride.
Yep.
So I think it's
absolutely
brilliant.
Absolutely. So, wow, almost 50 minutes into this, Caroline, my how time flies. I think we need to kind of pull this stuff together just because. But tonight, what I hope that we did was we gave you some tangible ideas, some creative ideas. You know, honestly, some of these won't work for your teachers and stuff in the classroom, but we only need just one to work. And part of this brainstorming thing was to kind of spark your kind of creativity and kind of get out there. And I think one of the things that I learned from you and I pulling this show together is you really, really got to have a relationship with a teacher. You've got to be very respectful of the challenges that they faced, and that notion of make it easy for them. The doctor's note, make the donation, walk in, know what works for your kid, explain that to them, train your kid on it. So it's not really disruptive. The easier that you can make it for them, the easier it is for them to adopt it, as long as you're making their job easier and not making it more difficult. And you can bring these things in, because at the end of the day, if you have an ADHD kid who's struggling and is not focusing, it's going to be a drain on them, on you, anybody on an IEP or 504 plan. Whereas you implement these things, it makes everybody's life a lot easier. So as we wrap this up, you have any parting comments?
Well, and I think that here's the thing. We all live in today. Sometimes we're trying to just get through, and that's where these can come in as well. But I want to just say this. These all develop life skills because, you know, as Jeff and I know from the work that we do, people with ADHD have to figure out how to get things done and navigate, and that's the biggest challenge. And so all these kind of ideas and tinkering with them and figuring it out, you know, it's not just you're helping your kid get through academics. You're helping them learn how to, like you mentioned, the businessman, how to make things happen for themselves. So, I mean, to me, you know, it's not about the reading log. It's about the long-term benefit of somebody who has the ability to know this is what works for me. And that,
yes,
I think, is priceless.
Absolutely, absolutely. So everybody, we hope we've inspired your creativity. Hopefully we've got a few nuggets that you can expand upon. And so with that, we'll wrap things up. And as always, Caroline, thanks for coming on the show.
No problem. Thank you.
Everybody, learn more about Caroline McGuire at necoaching.com. If you want to check me out, go to digcoaching.com. And next week, we have a very special edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're kicking off ADHD Awareness Month with a promotion of this year's CHAD conference. We've got a lot of great interviews to air, so check us out next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.